بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها، صدق الله العظيم. I came across a bayan, a talk by Hazrat Maulana Salim Dorat Saab, Damat Barakatuhum, of the UK, of Leicester. Hazrat Maulana Salim Dorat Saab is a very great alim, very humble, doing sterling effort in the UK, especially among the youngsters. He's got a Darul Uloom also. He has ta'alluq with many of our akabir. Excellent akhlaq. He has given, and he gives many talks. One particular talk that he had given, and this applies to all of us, it's a reminder for all of us. And the unwan of this talk, the title is Real Pleasure versus False Pleasure. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite grace, has created numerous permissible routes to enjoyment. Allah has given various ways and routes for His bandha to enjoy. Within the limits He has set a believer, can live a perfectly happy and content life. So a person, a believer in this world, he can live a happy life in this world, as long as he is within the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed. So indeed, by observing the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a believer is guaranteed these blessings. Many people, however, strive to attain happiness through avenues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has branded haram and impermissible. So Allah has given us routes to reach Him and enjoy and to have a content life, a happy life in this world. Allah has got limitations. We have to remain in these limitations. However, there are many of those people who seek haram pleasures, those pleasures which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made permissible for us. When such people think about pleasure and enjoyment, it is quite likely that they imagine the lives of those who do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being joyless and drab. So many a person who enjoys the pleasures of the world, the haram pleasures, then he thinks the life that the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the life that they are living, may be a very boring life, very dry life. There's no enjoyment in that life. They wonder what pleasure there can be in a life devoid of clubbing, drinking, drugs, having girlfriends, boyfriends, music, and so many other type of pastimes that are available today. They reason that if they were to sincerely repent of the impermissible pleasures, they would find their new lives very difficult to bear and hardly worth living. Many a person we find, they say, I can't go for Hajj now. I'm still, my life is different. Once I go for Hajj, I have to change my life. Whether a person goes for Hajj or doesn't go for Hajj, his life should be in accordance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. So Hazrat Maulana says, my message to those of my brothers and sisters who are inclined to think along such lines is this. I say with full confidence, without a shadow of doubt, that the degree of pleasure Allah Ta'ala gives to those who fulfill their desires via permissible means is millions of times greater than the pleasure which is to be had via impermissible means. The nature of impermissible pleasure is a couplet. The translation of this couplet is, O heart, do not incline towards the glitter of the world. O heart, do not incline towards the glitter of this world, for it is autumn that has come in the guise of spring. It is autumn that has come in the guise of spring. The world with its impermissible delights has the outward appearance of spring, but is in reality the opposite. It looks lush and beautiful and feels pleasurable. Impermissible activities like adultery, zina, fornication, drink, drugs appear as the lush greens of spring, when in reality they are the decaying remnants of autumn. After moth, when the reality of actions becomes apparent, we will understand that what we mistook to be spring and the season of growth was in reality autumn. the season of loss. Impermissible pleasure is not in reality pleasure. So, O heart, do not incline towards the glitter of the world, for it is autumn that has come in the guise of spring. Do not let your heart be attracted by the glamour and glitter of this world, for it is akin to cancer for one's spiritual health. It is such a malady that whoever is afflicted with it risks a tremendous loss. And what is the tremendous loss? What are you going to lose? One's relationship with Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what you're going to lose. The ta'alluq with Allah, the nisbat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the entry to Jannah, everlasting success in the hereafter, the peace of heart, a good mawt, and one's very iman. Recovery is only achievable after undertaking much difficulty, much mujahada. All those impermissible activities viewed as pleasurable are in reality baits used by shaitan to bring us into his clutches. It is with these activities as a lure that shaitan hunts us down. Impermissible pleasure is pain. It is not pleasure. It is sickness, not vitality. It is poison, not nourishment. Consider the example of a man who becomes afflicted with eczema. His inflamed skin itches. So what does he do? He resorts to scratching it, as it gives him a sort of pleasure and comfort. He contents himself with scratching and refuses to take any medication or follow the advice of his doctor. He also begins to tell his friend that this doctor is a fool. I get so much pleasure from scratching this rash, but my doctor tells me to get rid of it. He offers me medication that stings and causes me taklif and difficulty, so I have decided not to use that medication. The prognosis for this patient, who considers himself intelligent and his doctor a fool, who is not willing to swallow a bitter pill and tolerate the temporary pain of treatment, is obvious. His skin will become bad, his body will waste away, and it is possible that he may reach a stage at which cure is no longer possible. No right-minded person will consider such an individual as being of sound mind, but will classify him as a fool. When those whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed with intelligence and spiritual insight see people involved in impermissible pleasures of the world, they clearly notice their foolishness. The mashayikh, the spiritual doctors, encourage their patients to take the necessary medication. They urge them to offer salah. In the same way that the doctor urges his patient to apply ointment to his eczema, just as the ointment relieves the patient of the desire for harmful gratification through scratching, salah relieves the spiritually sick of the desire to gratify himself through impermissible means. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, Allah has promised, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Surely salah restrains people from shameful and evil acts. This is the power of salah. If it's done properly, correctly, it will actually stop you from haram actions. The treatment may seem bitter and difficult in the initial stages, but the patient has to bear it if he wishes to reap its benefits in the future. Now the spiritually sick person, like the physically sick, may not always appreciate the guidance and advice of his spiritual doctor. What does the Shaykh know about the enjoyment I am having? He not only wants to end my enjoyment, he wants to completely spoil my life. How can I live such a dull and dreary life without any pleasures? So just as a doctor understands the pleasure of scratching, it inflames the skin, is not in reality a pleasure, but it is a deception. The mashayikh understand the deception posed by haram pleasures. They are well aware that haram pleasures are temporary and ultimately destructive if left unchecked. They prescribe spiritual cures with the conviction that, by Allah Ta'ala's permission, they will replace the pleasure of sickness with the pleasure of health, which is everlasting. They encourage the spiritually weak to swallow the bitter pill that is required to remove spiritual illness. And they know that, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will reward the user of this medication with the only pleasure that is real. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub. Know that only in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find real contentment. So finding peace and contentment besides the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no other way for the heart to find peace, contentment or tranquility. The patient suffering from eczema may attain a transient pleasure by scratching, but when he stops scratching, the discomfort returns and the future bodes nothing but difficulty. Likewise, temporary pleasure may be attained by the one who disobeys Allah, but as soon as he concludes the impermissible activity that he is involved in, his heart once again becomes discontent and restless. No one in the world has a cure for restlessness of the heart. Allah Ta'ala has complete control over this condition and has kept its cure solely with Himself. If contentment of heart is lost, the combined efforts of all the world's doctors, all the world's mashayikh and resources will be of no avail. Peace and contentment come from one place and one place only, that is, they descend upon the hearts of man directly from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one else has been allowed power over them. هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين. It is He, that is Allah, who sent down peace upon the hearts of the believers. Allah is the one who causes peace, tranquility and happiness to descend. And furthermore, they only descend upon hearts that are capable of accommodating them. It's a very important point. Those hearts that are capable of receiving this sakina, they come onto these hearts. And therefore he has mentioned the airport of the heart. You see, this concept can be understood by the following analogy. Aeroplanes of different designs do not indiscriminately land at any available airport. Airports are assessed to see what types of aircraft they are suitable for. The airport is large, sophisticated design, and having a large runway of the best quality, then the largest and the most advanced aeroplanes will be able to land there. If the airport is not so well equipped, then lighter aircraft will use it. If the airport has a runway full of potholes, then even the lightest aircraft will not be able to make use of it. Our hearts are also airports, with a runway upon which the aeroplane of sakina, tranquility from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is designed to touch down. If the airport of our heart is small, or if this runway is full of holes and cracks, then the aeroplane of sakina from Allah will not land. We will need to exert every effort to remove the cracks on the tarmac that have appeared due to our sins. We will need to refrain from sins to stop more cracks appearing. We will need to repent and submit to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For it is with the tarmac of repentance, tawbah and submission that the cracks of the runway are sealed. Only after this effort will the aeroplane of tranquility descend upon the heart. Then, for as long as an individual continues to maintain and rectify the airport of the heart, the aeroplane of sakina will continue to land. His schedule will become fixed and his landings will be continuous. At the time of maut, Allah Ta'ala will send down angels with sakina to the believers, and as a result, they will not fear or grieve. So the thought, what enjoyment can there be in life without sin? This is a poisonous doubt. Is a poisonous doubt carefully placed in the heart by who? By shaitan. The truth, the reality is very different. Pleasure is acquired by both those who are obedient to Allah Ta'ala and by those who are disobedient to Him. But the difference being that the pleasure of the irreligious is a sick pleasure, whereas the pleasure of the friend of Allah Ta'ala is a healthy one. The pleasure resulting from health is beneficial and lasting, whereas the pleasure resulting from illness is fleeting. No harm underlies the pleasure of health, whereas behind the pleasure of illness is destruction and ruin. This is why Shaykh Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah used to say, "I swear by Allah," he should tell the Mughal kings, "that if the kings were to know the pleasure that we are enjoying," he's talking about the halal pleasure, the contentment, the sakina that has come onto his heart, the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would address the Mughal kings and say, "If only they knew what enjoyment we are getting, they would fight us with their swords to snatch away this pleasure." So oppose the deception of shaitan that promises enjoyment in the unlawful and threatens boredom and dullness if it is given up. Know that a person that leaves unlawful pleasures for the sake of Allah will find his heart filled with lawful pleasures from Allah. One sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one sajda will bring more joy than the combined feelings of all those who resort to unlawful avenues of enjoyment. Hazrat Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullah used to say, whenever he would go into prostration, into sajda, he would not wish to raise his head again. This can be likened to a person saying that when he sits to watch a video or movie, he does not wish to leave the TV screen. The common denominator in both situations is pleasure, enjoyment. It is obvious that both feel pleasure in their respective activities and do not feel like ending them. What is really interesting is that the viewer of that haram most probably assumes that the worshipper must be living a dull and joyless life. Little does he really know. When the Shaykh was asked, Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi was asked, why he did not feel like lifting his head from sajda, he replied, when I place my head in sajda, I feel as though Allah Ta'ala is stroking my head with affection. Besides fulfilling the necessary duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi, the great Imam, Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi, was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. And he used to gain such pleasure in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in his researching kitabs, especially the kitabs of jurisprudence, fiqh and masail. He would be so engrossed. He used to say that the pleasure of study, checking all his kitab, researching different masail, is greater than the pleasure a newly wed young man enjoys on the first night with his wife. We should at least make an effort to taste the pleasure derived from the ta'at of Allah, the obedience of Allah. Mere knowledge of a thing is different from experiencing it. It is one thing to be told, for example, that a mango is sweet. However, mere knowledge will not reveal whether the sweetness of a mango is similar to the sweetness of, for instance, chocolate or ice cream. On seeing the happy faces of people eating mangoes, the knowledge that mangoes are indeed very sweet is reinforced. But even then, one still cannot know what the sweetness of a mango is. It is only when one gets a mango and tastes it that one can truly understand the pleasure that is unique to it. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi was the king of Balkh. One night he woke up from his sleep. He heard some noises on the roof of his palace. And he asked, who is it? So a man shouted. He said, I am looking for my camel. Ibrahim al-Adham rahmatullah became very angry. He said, how foolish can you be? Who can be more ignorant than you? Searching for a camel on the roof of the palace? Is that the place to search for a camel? The man, however, had been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah. He was the king of Balkh. This man replied, he said, the person who searches for Allah while sitting on a royal throne is more ignorant. You want to seek Allah, you searching for Allah on your throne, this is not the place to search for Allah. The words immediately struck Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah's heart. He left the palace and the kingdomship of Balkh, and he set out to devote his life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ministers of the kingdom repeatedly appealed to him to return. He refused. Once a group of them found him sitting on the bank of a river, wrapped in a tattered shawl. This was the same king who should live in a grand palace and sleep on a soft bed. Yet today he was alone in the wilderness in his search for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The party pleaded with him to come back to his throne. He refused. When they persisted, then he took a needle with which he had been mending his shawl. He dropped it into the river. He then said to the ministers, you are ministers and rulers. Bring back my needle. Retrieve my needle. When they obviously could not, he commanded the fish of the river to bring him his needle. Immediately thousands of fish swam to the bank with golden needles held in their mouths. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah said, I do not want a golden needle, I want my own needle. All the fish disappeared except for one, which came to the shore carrying the needle that had been dropped in the water. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah then turned to the people and said, when Allah has given me such a kingdom in return for my worldly kingdom, why should I return to the rule of Balkh? before Ibrahim ibn Adham was the king of the people of Balkh, when he gave up his kingdom and became Allah Ta'ala's friend, Allah Ta'ala gave him rule over his creation. Therefore, Hazrat Mawlana Salim Durat Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, says, my friends, just think for a moment. We are not being asked to leave anything as valuable as a kingdom. We are not being asked to leave our homes, our families, our occupations, our possessions. We are only being asked to leave our unlawful haram desires. We have only to let go of the pleasures of drink, adultery, fornication, clubs, drugs, discos, and all the other pleasures that Allah Ta'ala does not like, which displease the one who created us, the one who placed the treasure of Iman in our hearts. Aside from foul pleasures, we are free to acquire halal, lawful pleasures that Allah Ta'ala has made for us. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. A beautiful bayan he gives us, just a synopsis. So let us not go towards haram pleasures. When Allah has given us a halal, lawful life, things which Allah has made halal for us, seek those halal pleasures, keep within the limits of Sharia. Allah will give us such enjoyment like Ibrahim and Adam, or like how they used to, people of the friends of Allah Ta'ala used to address the Mughal kings, if only you know what we have in our heart, then you will fight us to snatch away that pleasure, the real pleasure, where a person has the ma'iyat of Allah Ta'ala, he has that sakina, the contentment of the heart, the tranquility, may Allah give it to me and all of us sitting here and all of us listening to this program, the entire ummah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is our object in this dunya. This is the object and aim of tasawuf and tazkiyah, to purify our hearts. We don't have this enjoyment that these mashayikh are talking about. We have knowledge of it. Allah Ta'ala must give us a reality, inshallah, that we have such a ta'alluq and such sakina and tranquility and such pleasure of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that all the other haram pleasures mean nothing to us, inshallah. Recite Durood Sharif. Dhikr has not to be made in chorus. We are learning how to make dhikr, so in solitude, in the tomb, or wherever we are, then we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not only on a Thursday night or a particular night that then only we make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single day, a dhakir, a true person, a true dhakir is one who remembers Allah Ta'ala all the time. Quran Sharif has mentioned so many places that remember Allah Ta'ala in abundance. Wherever we are, chalte, pirte, all the time, we remember Allah Rabbul Izzah. Our tongues may be moist in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our actions must be in conformity with the teachings of Sharia. What Allah Ta'ala has commanded us, what Rasulullah has commanded us. So inshallah we learn how to make zikr. We say la ilaha illallah. La is nafi. Nafi means we are negating ghairullah. All the spiritual maladies that we have in our heart. Sometimes it's a woman that has come into our heart, a haram pleasure. Sometimes it's a man that has come in the heart of a woman. Sometimes it is drugs. Sometimes it is wine. It is zina, fornication. It is anger that we have. Pride, jealousy, malice. All these things we say la to it. La, la, la. We're making nafi to it. Illallah. We put in our heart the oneness of Allah, the greatness of Allah, the supremacy of Allah. All those haram pleasures, we are getting rid of it. And the nur of Iman, the nur of the Kareema enters our heart. When we say, take the name of Allah, think of Allah Ta'ala's greatness, how powerful Allah is, how beautiful the name Allah is. Allah, how beautiful it is.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله illallah, la ilaha 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 illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah, 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah jalla jalaluhu wa ta'ala sha'nu. Allah, 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 Allah,
sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
اللهم لك الحمد كله لك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد المبارك وسلم ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا همّا إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا رب العالمين اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من المهديين اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان يا الله ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما یا اللہ ہم گنہگار ہیں ہم سیاہکار ہیں ہم بدکار ہیں یا اللہ ہم مجرم ہیں ہم اقراری مجرم ہیں یا اللہ we lived a life یا اللہ full of disobedience my اللہ of حرام pleasures my اللہ یا اللہ forgive us my اللہ یا اللہ forgive us یا اللہ یا اللہ the cracks of sins that has come into our heart my اللہ یا اللہ you remove those cracks my اللہ Ya Allah, you make the sakina and tranquility come unto our hearts. Ya Allah, give us itminan of our heart. Give us contentment, Ya Allah, serenity, tranquility, peace of heart. Ya Allah, give us enjoyment in your love, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us enjoyment in your love, my Allah. In your deen, my Allah. In iman, my Allah. In salahat, my Allah. In your ibadat, my Allah. In your obedience, my Allah. Protect us from haram pleasures, my Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from haram pleasures, my Allah. Ya Allah, remove us from all those haram pleasures that we are involved in, my Allah. Allah, give us tawfiq of sincere tawbah. Give us that himmat and courage to refrain from all evil, my Allah. Fill our hearts with your ishq and muhabbat, the ishq and muhabbat of Rasulullah Pak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, fulfill all our desires, my Allah. Allah, we've got different hajat and needs, my Allah. Our brothers have raised their hand, ya Allah. Our mothers and sisters at home, ya Allah, they're listening over the receiver, my Allah. Allah, you are well aware of each person's need here, my Allah. يا قاضي الحاجات يا دافع البليات يا حل المشكلات يا الله all difficulties يا الله the only person who can remove the difficulties is you my Allah اللهم كاشف الغم مفرج الهم مجيب دعوة المضطرين إذا دعوك رحمن الدنيا والآخرة ورحيمهما فارحمنا في حاجاتنا كلها بقضائها ونجاعها رحمة تغرنا بها عن رحمة من سواك عن رحمة من سواك Ya Allah, all those who are sick and ailing, give them complete shifa, my Allah. Ya Allah, so many young and old, Ya Allah. Little babies, Ya Allah, undergoing operations, my Allah. Ya Allah, grant them complete shifa, Ya Allah. All the marhumin, give them jannatul firdaus and the family sabri jameel, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us a good maut, maut on iman, my Allah. Ya Allah, grant us maut in Madinah Sharif, my Allah. Baril in jannatul baqi. Grant us the shafa'at of Rasulullah Pak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The holy kothur water from his mubarak hands, my Allah. Make us enter Jannah without any reckoning, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from azab of qabr, azab of Jahannam, from every big and small fitna, especially the fitnas of Dajjal. Ya Allah, forgive our parents, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, shower them with your special mercy, Ya Allah. If they've left this world, Ya Allah, grant them maghfirat, my Allah. Make our children become the coolness of our eyes. Make them obedient to us, my Allah. Make them excellent hufad, ulama, sulaha, atqiya, abrar, muqarrabin, maqbuleen, my Allah. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما يا الله give us حلال طيب روزي my Allah make our rizq come asan with asani to us my Allah make us eat and enjoy only that which is halal and wholesome my Allah يا الله make us use it in the correct ways my Allah يا الله those who requested duas يا الله accept the duas حاضرين غائبين سب کی دعا قبول فرما ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة ما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين